I am so excited to introduce Pastor Jeff and Amber Davidson and their three daughters and their friend Marissa's who is here also. They have a ministry that he's going to talk about, so I'm going to let him talk about it. But here's what I want you to know. I've known these guys for, how old are you, Summer? For then 15 years, about. Is that right? Maybe 17 years. See, I'm bad with time. So somewhere between 15 and 17 years, I've known these guys. They are legit. I just tell you that because I want you to know they're the real deal, okay? They are authentic. What you see is what you get. They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they're passionate about making his name known on the earth. So just give a big old Oak River welcome to Pastor Jeff and Amber Davidson.
Well, it is so good to be here today, and man, that what everybody said, you kind of like took my notes, so I really don't have a whole lot more to say, so, which that's always a great thing. I love how those things happen, and so, my name is Jeff Davidson, and I have been a youth pastor for over 20 years, which is kind of weird to think about that. It's even possible. And there's some people in this room that have known Amber and I right after the first week we were married. You only know us like not married. Other than that, I mean, 1 week we literally flew back in from our honeymoon to Cleveland to interview at a church on the west side, and just crazy. It's just unbelievable. And so we have three daughters. Can you just stand up real quick? I won't embarrass you and make you say anything. But this is a Summer in the middle. Summer is 13. So after all these years, I finally have a teenager. So 13. And then Jalen is over here on the right. And this is Brooke here on the left. So just wave real quick. All right. They're not used to having to do that. But I wanted to try not to embarrass them too much. But if you spend about 10 minutes with me, you would find out that I'm really passionate about a couple things. One is about family. If you follow me on Facebook ever, you don't know me, of course you wouldn't follow me on Facebook. But if you follow me on Facebook, you would see family is something that's really, really important to me. And I don't know about this past Tuesday, we built the largest snowman, I think, ever in the history of Cleveland. And so, it was about 10 feet tall. It was amazing. And so I always love that. I was like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, we're really strong. We're a really strong family. Brooke here has muscles on muscles to be able to do that. But family, really passionate about that. Community. I love community. I love what's happening here today. So fun to be in here today and worshiping with you. It's been so good. And just to see the community that's here, how you love one another. It shows in your worship and your praise in the lobby and all those things. That is very, very genuine and real, and it's special. And I hope you recognize that, because that's not everywhere. It's not everywhere you go that you experience that. And so community is really, really important. One, to have a community of church, but also to be in your community and making a difference, you know, in your community. And the last thing for me is missions. Missions is a really thing that is very dear to my heart. And my wife is actually the one that probably got me started passionate about missions. She used to go on mission trips as a teenager herself. And so, and then as we got together and we got married, that we started doing missions, and it's just become something that has been on my heart for years and years and years. And so we've been going to some great places, and God keeps opening up new doors for us and so many awesome opportunities. I actually leave for Peru next Saturday. And so, or this Saturday. It's the Saturday, this next one coming up. However you like to say that. It's the 27th that I leave for Peru. And I'm going on the Amazon River to take the gospel to indigenous tribes that have never heard it before. It's crazy. Like, I'm so excited. I'm a tiny bit scared, but I'm more excited than anything. We're taking clean water to them. We're taking filtration systems for them to have clean water. We're teaching them hygiene. And we're teaching them how to use these things, because the Amazon, they're literally drinking out of the Amazon River. And so, I don't know about you, most of us don't like drinking the water that we have out of our tap. And so, imagine drinking straight Amazon River and knowing that all the parasites, all the worms, all those things that happen. So we can give them clean water, but if they don't use it and know how to do it, then they're not going to be able to help themselves. So on top of that, though, we're going to be able to share the gospel. Some of them will be here for the very first time. And I'll just take 1 minute just to tell you the process. It's so cool. So where the evangelism team going down? A month later, once all the people that accept Christ, there's a discipleship, a group of pastors coming down to disciple these people. And then from there, they're picking the kind of the cream of the crop out of that group. And the next month, there's a pastor's school that they're going to take the ones that are the strongest, that they feel that could really do this, and they're become the pastors of their village. Hallelujah. Isn't it like amazing? Like when you can clap on that. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that I get so passionate and excited about, because you know we're going to help them. We're going to bring them some real physical needs, but we're going to take care of the spiritual needs, and literally their lives will be changed forever. So really, really excited about that. And so in that, we started a ministry several years ago called Last Leaf. I know it's kind of a weird word to think about, but I'll just tell you the 1 minute version of it is that I was outside with my girls when I was back in Harrisburg, and I was pushing them on the swings. They're actually in here, so this is kind of fun to do. Well, I haven't told it in front of them in a long time. So, but I was pushing them on the swings, and one by one, they all started to leave. And so I ended up like swinging by myself on the swing set. And my comparison of that is, how many people have young kids? Most of you have had young kids. Anybody remember Dora the Explorer? Okay. So there's times when I was watching Dora the Explorer with my girls and they would all leave the room and I'd still find myself watching Dora the Explorer. Okay. Anybody with me? Anybody happen to? Okay. Thanks for your honesty. And so I was sitting there on that swing by myself, and we had this little bit of wetlands in the back of our house, and there's this humongous sycamore tree in the back, and one of the leaves blew up to me. And if you've ever seen a sycamore leaf, they're massive. I mean, they're just bigger than your hand, just massive. And I picked it up, and I'm looking at the veins of it and everything, and I just really felt the Lord saying to me, goes, that time is short, and you have until the last leaf falls. And I looked up into that tree, and it was in the fall, and there was just a couple leaves left, and I watched another one fall, and I just really felt like that our time is so short. Like, we have so little time, and we need to make a difference. We need to make the most of every minute that we have. And so that's kind of how it birthed out of that. And so I'm really excited about what's going on. We have a lot of trips going on this coming year. We're going, like I said, I'm going to Peru on Saturday. We're going to Panama. And we'll be building a house in Panama, which is really exciting. We're going to do that. We're going to be in the Dominican Republic. I have two trips to Northern Ireland that are back-to-back with brand new church plants. We've been going to the one for about 5 years. They were the first new church in this town in 100 years. Just unbelievable. It's like a revival that hit like Northern Ireland with Belfast. There was this one town of Antrim that was missed. And in that, this guy, and his name is John Ash, and he became the pastor of this new church. And we've been going there for 5 years, and just seeing the growth of it has been so fun. So this year, we're actually going to a new city called Armagh, which is really, really great. If you have any idea where Northern Ireland is and anything about us, there's Antrim here, and then Armagh is like an hour and a half. It's southwest, and we're so excited. It's our first time getting to go there, but I just know it's at the beginning of something big, a brand new church, a young adult church, and really excited about that opportunity. But a lot of things going on. We also are going to do our first stateside one. We're going to Jacksonville, Florida, and to help out someone who started a dream center down there. We're going to be going down there in July. So just to say that, there's still room available if you're interested in coming, if that excited you and you would like to talk about it afterwards. We'll be out in the lobby. My friend Marissa will be out there. My wife Amber will be out there, and the girls will just be looking pretty. And if you want to talk to them, that would be great. They would love it. And they are life-changing experiences. And I would say if you're an individual, it's great to go. If it's a family and you can go, it's great. I always love taking, if a parent and a child can go on a trip, I've watched life change happen in them that has been so amazing that they look back and they say that was a defining moment for our family. So, I could keep talking about that forever. I actually have a word for you guys today, but it can be shorter because you guys already said most of it. So it's actually really, really great in that. The last thing I'll say about it is that we're really passionate about family, and we're going to be starting this new thing, and we're looking for some test pilot families that if you have kids between the ages of 5 and 12, not that they can't be a little older than that or a little younger than that, but if some of them are in that. Most kids have made a decision by the time that they're 12 if what their spiritual formation is. So I look at that as a youth pastor for 20 years, that by the time I even got them, that foundation a lot of times was already set, and I was only building upon that. And we know what the scriptures say about the build upon the rock or on the sand. You know, I've watched that kind of, you know, flesh itself out over 20 years. I've seen some people do really, really well, and I've seen some people really struggle along the way. But great parenting, you can't substitute that. Great parenting is so important. And so we're trying to create things that will help families to be able to have experiences together, help them to create your mission statement for your family value. So if that's interest to you, talk to me afterwards. I'm really excited about that too. So we are moving into some really great directions, and it's something new for us, but I can't be more thrilled about what's going on in that. So let's jump to our topic today, and we're going to talk about restoring passion. About restoring passion. And I've kind of been going through some of the Psalms recently, and I was always intrigued about, you know, why was a certain Psalm written? Like there's these Psalms, but then there's a backstory to a Psalm. And if you start looking at some of the Psalms, there's some really interesting ones that you can look at the backstory of what happened in those Psalms. And David, and it's gonna be Psalms 51 that we're gonna hit today. And David is one that's known after God's own heart. And knowing all the wrong that he's done, I always feel like, you know, how could God view him that way? But our God is such a gracious God, and he loves us so much. And he sees, you know, deeper than some of the surface things that we see. And I think about that in the same way with us. Like, we've all made mistakes. We make some errors along the way. And sometimes, you know, when we think about even like very successful people, sometimes when they make a mistake, they're almost more well known for their mistake than when all the good that they actually did. And so I want to just take a quick history profile of David. And most of you know a lot of his story, but you know, he was anointed by Samuel as a young boy, and all his brothers came in. No. Yes, this is the one. And not realizing that they were just anointing him, like some might have thought that they were anointing him that he'd be a prophet like Samuel, but actually he was being anointed as a king. And so that's a very intriguing thing, and thinking about that at that age. So then you get this profile. If you had like a Facebook page for David, it'd be very interesting. Like, shepherd, musical, and I kill lions and bears. You know, I mean, there's just something about that. You know, I mean, like, I could see Doug's got the gear on to maybe to kill a bear or kill a lion or something like that. But that's not something that you normally see, you know, in the same sentence. And to think about, you know, when Saul was needed, when the anointing kind of came off of Saul, Saul was looking for somebody to come and play for him. And so then someone's like, hey, you know what? There's this guy, his name's David. He can come, and he played for him, and it kind of soothed Saul. And so, you know, fast forward years, he comes back, he defeats Goliath. But to think about, you know, the training for him that went along the way. I mean, like, when you're out as a shepherd in the field, not that I was ever a shepherd, but I think sometimes as a shepherd, you might have some time on your hands, all right? You're out there. They're probably pretty, you probably got pretty good at that sling. I think as a kid, I used to always think about, how crazy is that, you know, to do this sling? But he probably got so good at it that he could hit anything, hit a tree, hit something, knock a bear down, whatever. You know, just like that became such confidence in that. So when it came to an individual like Goliath, he's like sized it up and like, dude, I took a bear down that's your size about, you know? I'm not afraid of you. And just to be able to have that kind of confidence, but recognize not just confidence in himself, but realize that the Lord was with him. And the Lord was in him. And so he killed Goliath, he became king, he won many battles, but then something happened. Something happened that one time he chose not to go to battle, and he let his guard down, and he let temptation come in, and he actually fell to those temptations. And so Nathan is the one who actually kind of rebukes David. And if you know that story, he kind of tells this parable and says, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except for one little lamb that he had bought. He raised it, he grew it up with him and his children, and he shared his food and drank his cup, and even it even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. And at this point, so David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then Nathan comes out and says, "You are that man." But I'll tell you what a setup, man. You are set up in this story. You are that man. And I'll tell you what, that's when it hit David. And that's where Psalms 51 came from, right there. It came from this moment of Psalms 51. And so to think about this, our vertical relation with God is so key to the horizontal relationships in our lives. How we have our relationship with God is how we're going to be able to treat other people. And I'll tell you, when we enjoy a growing relationship with God, we discover that the quality of our relationships here continue to grow. And I notice that wherever I go in the world, it's that same way. When you find out you're a Christian, I mean, there's an instant bond that you have very, very fast. And then that continues to develop and grow in that as you have community together. So this is Psalms 51. And I was thinking about how we got to sing it as well with My Soul at the end. So that always fits that hymn category for me. All right. And then you have all these new songs, which I was so excited about coming today because I'm like, man, I'm so good on music now. I know so many songs. And you still did three songs I didn't know. So it's just unbelievable. Maybe you wrote them because I was just like, man, I was so excited to tell Doug. I'm like, I'm like so on music now. I didn't know it. And you still did some songs I didn't know, but I loved it. It was so good. So here's some song. Here's this psalm, and see if this sounds familiar to you. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Does anyone remember that song? "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing..." This is the transparency songs, all right? The overhead transparencies. It didn't fit the hymnal, but it made the overhead transparencies before we had this. That's what I always remember. And it says, "For I know my transgressions and my sins, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Man, there's so many songs you probably are remembering from this one. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity." And then this, I love this next part. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." That is the biggest thing that David was concerned about. Is that God was going to take the Holy Spirit from him. He knew how important that was. He knew how crucial that was. But the verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." God loves David. He loves David. Despite his faults, despite his mistakes, God loved him. And you know what? God loves you. Despite your faults, despite your mistakes, despite the wrongs that we have done, that he loves each and every one of us. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save and he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and he will rejoice over you with singing." God loves you so much that he sings over you. He sings over you. He loves you. He loves everything about you. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get so self-centered in life, and the burden of that, everybody was saying, the trauma, the heartache, all these things, we start getting so much on self that we forget sometimes that God loves you and he cares for you. He's not surprised by your circumstances. A curveball was not thrown to him when he saw what happened to you. Okay, he's not surprised by that. But he sings over you and he loves you. He is so passionate about you that he sent his son Jesus to save you. I think sometimes we just gotta like soak that in sometimes. Just remember what he's done. And you know what he wants in return? He wants you to be passionate about him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to care about him, to care about the things he cares about. Does anybody need an increase in their passion today? Anybody need a little passion increase today? I'll tell you what I do. I totally want to keep going further. I am not anywhere close to where I want to be yet. And I don't think we should ever want to be that we've arrived somewhere. God, right now, I pray that as we go a little further in this, God, I pray that you will increase our passion. Lord, I pray that the desires of our heart will match what you desire. God, I pray right now for as much as you love us, I pray now that we can reciprocate as much as we can with that same love, Lord, to you and to others. And I pray right now, Lord, that you will continue to bless this time in Jesus' name. Do you remember when you first accepted Christ? Do you remember that? Do you remember that joy that you had? I mean, that total love that you had for him. I'll tell you what, I get so excited all the time when I see people find Christ. I love that joy. I love that excitement. That enthusiasm is so contagious to be around. And I'll tell you what, we need more of that in our lives. We need that. We need people that are building us up and loving us and nurturing us. And I always remember in college, I got the opportunity to travel for my school. And I had two summers in a row that I got to, literally, I felt like a disciple, that I was like 14 weeks on the road. It was kind of, you guys remember Road Rules? Anybody remember like MTV Road Rules stuff? You're like, no, I have no clue what you're talking about. Okay, well, there was a show that had like several people and they would be like in a bus or in a van or something like that, and they would travel to different places. Well, our college, for some reason, they allowed three guys and three girls in a van with stuff, and they gave us like $4,000 and just go from church to church, camp to camp, all that kind of stuff. And it was the most life-changing experience for me. Two summers in a row I got to do that. And I'll tell you, I just came fired up. I was so on fire for God that I just couldn't contain it sometimes. And I remember going back to school right after the end of that tour and being back at school, and I was getting ready to go home. And I was telling this guy about what happened. He goes, because you give it 2 weeks and you'll be back like the rest of us again. I tell you, if I ever came close to the Jesus flipping tables kind of thing, that's what it felt like for me. I was like ready just to go into this kid's room and just rip his room apart. I don't know what you're saying. Like, I was so angry, you know, at that. And I said, that will not happen to me. That will not be that. My joy will not be taken. And so, and you have to fight for it. You know, you have to fight for that. And so, but there's times that we lose our passion. Sometimes that passion wanes and there's things that can happen. And, you know, sometimes it's selfishness. Sometimes it's just straight up selfishness on our part. Sometimes it's some poor choices. Sometimes there's circumstances that happen around us that cause our passion to wane. But I want to encourage us today that God wants your passion to be restored. Satan's going to try to do his best to rip it down. We know what Satan's plan is. No matter what party Satan tries to show up at, he only has one goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. He doesn't want to know you. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Whatever he can do that is what he wants to do. And so I want to encourage us, let's not live another dull routine day. Let's make something special every single day. Can we just try that? Can we try to do something different and try to do something great? And so here's my thoughts just real quick. And you hit the first point. I'm not sure. Yeah, you hit the first point over here for me. Make up your mind that you're going to regain your passion. It's a mindset thing. You got to start with a mindset thing. And so does everybody know who Teen Challenge is? Do you guys know what Teen Challenge? It's a men's group people that have just gone through some real bad struggles, a lot of times drug addiction, things like that. Well, when I was when I traveled for the school, I remember the one time we got to go and do a teen challenge group. A bunch of rough guys, man. They're just like rough. And so, but they did this thing that I'll never forget. It's been like 25 years ago, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. But, and there, you have all different levels of people. And so you have people that have been saved for a couple years. You have people that have been saved for like a week. But they did this thing, and they would have a little bit of worship, but then they did this thing. They go, I got my mind made up, and my heart is fixed. I'm going with Jesus all the way. And then all the rest of the guys, he's got his mind made up and his heart is fixed. And it was so funny. And there are people that, like me, that can't sing super well. But all these guys would get up and they wouldn't stop until everybody did it. And then they would pull out the next person. They'd be like, Summer. And so like you had no choice. You had to stand up. So even if you didn't want to do it, you had to do it. But I'll tell you what, there was something in that you started to believe that. You know, I got my mind made up, my heart is fixed, and I'm going with Jesus all the way. I mean, it was powerful, and I've always remembered that, and knowing that those guys, they did it almost every single day that they did it. I don't know if they loved it or not. Some of them loved it. One guy was like Elvis, you know, doing it. He had that kind of little Elvis swagger to him doing it. But I'll tell you, that there's something about that. You make up your mind. You make up your mind that, you know what, I'm going to have that passion for God. I'm going to do that. And so what are the things we need to do? We need to confess that we've lost our passion. Sometimes we have to confess it and say, you know what? I'm not where I was. I need to get back to where I was. David had a very huge wake-up call from Nathan that said, whoa, okay, I am off track. I have been derailed from what's going on here. I need to get back on track. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And so, you know, I think that in some of those things too, that we have to overcome fear in our lives. We have to overcome fear. There's this great book that I've been reading. It's called Through the Eyes of a Lion. And it talks about how, you know how a gazelle is like super fast and agile. And if a gazelle actually knew that it was faster than the lion, that the lion would never be able to catch the gazelle. And here's the deal. Here's the part that I couldn't believe when I read this. It says that you have to go towards the roar. And so that a lion is only fast when it's going straight. A lion is not agile going left and right like a gazelle. But what happens is it's a setup. So you have this roar happening. You have these other lions that are in the bush. The gazelle runs this way, and then they get captured by the other lion. But if the lion or if the gazelle could recognize and say, you know what, if I go towards my fear, if I would go towards it, I'll be free. And you know, like each one of us, I think we have fears. We have things that are going on in our lives that if we would just go towards it and face it head on, we'd be able to get free from it instead of being captured and being entangled by the sins and the things that we struggle with. And so, we need to realize that, you know, we're going to make mistakes, and we have mistakes, but God wants us to continue to move forward. And we must speak life into ourselves. I want to take just a second on this for this. I read this thing somewhere that said, we have 500 negative thoughts every day. 500 negative thoughts every day, all right? The majority of them are worry and anxiety. That's a lot of our things. How many times a day do you like doubt yourself that you can't do something or you beat yourself up on something? I mean, we're talking 500 times a day. And there's all these negative thoughts in our heads, and we just need to get a new mindset towards that. So I want to encourage you, pray through that kind of thing. Face those things head on. And don't let that be a number. You know, let that be something we can turn around and turn to our mindset. There's a song that we love every time on the mission trip. We do a song called Speak Life by Toby Mac. It's a song that's been around for several years now. But it's such a true song, man. If we start to speak life over each other and speak life in our own lives and start saying, like, I can do this. God, you have great things in store for me. You have great plans ahead for me. And I just need to continue to follow you. The second one is to eliminate the competition. Eliminate the competition. What is getting your time that probably shouldn't? What is stealing your time that probably shouldn't? What consumes your thoughts? Maybe a better way to say it is, what is something that derails us? And so a couple thoughts. I know that everyone can probably pick one or two things, but busyness, man, we get so busy. I'll tell you, that is like one of my huge things right now. I try, when someone asks me how I'm doing, I want to work really hard not to say that I'm busy. Because that is such a, it's an answer that I just, it's an easy answer to say. I'm busy. Yeah, I'm so busy, man. I got so much going on. And it's easy. It's easy to say that. But I'll tell you what, we allow busyness to sometimes control our time with God. And we need to recapture some of that time. A poor use of time that we have. Just thinking through just the practical of this. If it's social media, if it's TV, anything like that. If you do anything for an hour a day, it only takes 24 days for that to be one day out of your month. A full 24-hour day that you're doing that one thing. Like, you don't think about it. You think about, oh, it's an hour show or something like that. I'm not downing TV or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, but man, balance is so crucial. It's so crucial. And so 24 hours happens very, very fast. Poor relationships, work, sports, shopping. Man, we work so hard at the approval of others. We work so hard at just wanting the approval of other people to say that we're good. Man, I hope I can get 300 likes on that photo or 10, you know? Man, I keep refreshing that. You know, man, I feel so much better when that happens. You know, I mean, man, I put that Twitter thing out. Hopefully, people will share it. You know, that think that I'm great. You know, who cares? You know, people do. I probably care more than most. So, but hobbies. But we're unfocused. Unfocused. We need to restore the joy of our salvation. I had to add one more to that one because I think it's an important one to say. I think fatigue is something that sets in on us. Man, we just get so tired. And we don't restore ourselves. We don't restore ourselves. We've got to have more times than just Sunday morning for a 40-minute worship set to have our hearts restored and renewed, you know? I mean, you expect that of your leadership, but I'll tell you what, people need it from you. Your family needs that. They need to see you lead that way. They need to see you living that way. The last point I'm going to say today is to walk closely with your God. And James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I think the opposite, we have a dog for the first time ever that I haven't had a dog since I was like 16. And so a couple years ago, we got a dog for Christmas. And so, Amber and I got the dog. So it wasn't like a surprise dog came at our house. But we got this dog and her name is Hershey. And that might sound like a boy name, but I say it's her and she. So her, she. I don't know. Just thought I'd say it. Okay. So thanks. Thanks for the laughter. I appreciate that. But she like follows us wherever we are. I mean, it's like just right alongside of you all the time. Like, and she loves Amber. I mean, wherever Amber's at, you know, just with Amber all the time. But the funny part is there's once in a while that she disappears in the house and she's not away. She's away from all of us. And every time that she's away, she's normally doing something wrong. Okay. She either leaves a little present somewhere in the house as number one. Or I don't know if you guys know what these little, where are my teenage girls at in here? Any of them in here? Okay, the Eos bomb things. Do you guys know what those are? I don't know what it is, but our dog loves them, like eats them, you know? But it's like the girls, every time they get one, one's on the floor, it's gone. You know, they just eat these little lip balm things. I know. Yeah, don't get hung up on that. It's not really that big of a deal. It's just, she's doing wrong things. That's what I'm trying to say. She does wrong things when she's away from us. And so, but I want to say that when we're walking closely with God, we're normally doing the right things. When we begin to separate ourselves, when we got to step back, we take it on ourselves. We're, you know, even our problems and issues, we try to do it on our own strength. That's when things begin to derail. That's when mistakes happen. And sometimes when you need your church family the most is when you're struggling. And sometimes we want to just pull back and we want to pull away. And then you have people reaching out to you and you're like, I don't want people to reach out to me. Like, no, you should want people to reach out to you because they care about you. Because they have this vertical relationship with God that's making these horizontal relationships make sense. And so we got to know that they're here for you. Not trying just to keep you here. They're trying to keep you right with God. They want you to stay and stay involved. I love this line. It says, the impact God has planned for us doesn't occur when we're pursuing impact. It occurs when we are pursuing God. We just can't pursue impact. We can't pursue a dream. We got to pursue God. We got to pursue His will in our lives. Last couple of thoughts here is you can't truly be passionate about someone you don't know. We've all done this before, right? When someone would be like, hey, do you know so-and-so? Or do you know this band? Or do you know this like this sports thing? And we're like, oh yeah, I think I've heard of that before. And you're like, no, I've never heard of that in my entire life. Come on, who's with me? You've done that at least once in your life. Okay, maybe some of you aren't hearing what I'm saying. You've all done it before, okay? People would be like, yeah, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I think I've heard of that before. And you're like, no, I have no idea. Trying to get on your phone and Google that real fast to figure out what it is. But you know what? You cannot truly be passionate about somebody you don't know. You can't worship like this worship team up here if you don't have a great knowledge of a loving God that loves you with everything that He has. And so I want to say to you that, and no one's judging you in that, but I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, the more you want to spend time with Him. The closer you get to God, the more you understand the goodness of what He has for your life. And realize that we already have great things. We don't need more things. He's already done so much for us. We got up today, right? You're here today. We need to praise God for even for that alone. So we need to take action. Man is made that whenever anything fires his soul, nothing is impossible. And I'm so thankful for people that have paved the way for us. I mean, there's passionate people that have paved the way for us. You know, you start looking at your life and you look at decisions that you've made, there's probably, well, not probably, I know that there's 7, 8, 10 people, decades, centuries before you that made a decision that made that possible. I start watching things happen in my life and I get so thrilled that, man, God, it's so cool to see what you're doing, but I can look back and say, well, I'm doing this because this person was obedient here and that person was obedient here. And so your obedience is so crucial and so important. As you walk closely, you'll be an example to others. I gotta say one last thing before I get there, sorry. C.S. Lewis has this great quote. It says, aim at heaven and you'll get earth. Aim at earth and you'll miss both. We need to aim for heaven. I'll tell you, when we walk closely, we need to pursue Him, all right? And we need to do that. And when we do that, we're gonna see great things happen here on earth. But I'll tell you what, if we make earth our goal, we're gonna miss both. My last thing I'm gonna say, as you walk closely, you're gonna be able to be an example for others. I tell you, there's certain people when I walk into a room and I see them, I just get so excited to see them because I know where they're at. I know their genuineness. I just want to be around them. And even in that, these are people that have been through tough times and been through struggles and been through a bunch of stuff going on. It's not like they lived this perfect life. I can tell you for us, the past 24 months have been pretty bizarre. You know, in a lot of ways. And it's a little over 2 years ago, probably 27 months now, that my mom passed away. And then 3 months later, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. And then 6 months later, my brother got diagnosed with cancer. I'll tell you, there's fear that starts to creep into your life at that point. Now, there's things about being smart. I've been being smart, you know, and knowing that I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm just going to, I mean, I'm praying constantly about those things, but I'm being smart about it. But I tell you what, there's things that are saying, God, well, do you still love me anymore? Like, do you still care? Like, what's going on? And it's at those times where you have to press in harder. It's in those times where you need the family of God. You need the people around you. And I say that that people also need to see that in you, because they're going to go through struggles. And sometimes the struggles that you're going through, that God is setting up for you to be able to help others. Some of you guys knew me from a long time ago, where my nephew was hit by a car and died. It was, it's been over 10 years. It was around this week, actually, that it happened, about 10 years ago. And I can't tell you how many people I've been able to help through that process of loss. That, not that I would ever wish that upon anyone to do that, but God has been able to use that for me to help other people along the way. And so we need to be able to be that example for others. Last thing I want to say is this, is when I was in the hospital with my mom, she ended up being in there for 5 days before she died. And there was one night that there was a nurse going to be coming on that night, that she was kind of new, kind of one of those, she was just doing her job, didn't really care about knowing us at all. We had other great nurses and things like that. And I made a decision. I was staying all night. Like, I was not going to allow my mom to die on this woman's watch. I was going to do everything I could to make sure that didn't happen. And so I was sitting there with this one nurse who was there with us most of the time. She was amazing. And so my mom, one time she got up into the ICU, like, she was on all kinds of medications and tubes and everything like that. So it wasn't even her anymore. And so I was saying to this nurse, I'm like, oh, man, I just wish you would have known her. I just wish you could have seen her at her best, because this woman was amazing. I wish you could have heard her wisdom. I wish you could have heard her laughter. And she said to me the thing I'll never forget in my entire life. She said, I know her because I know you. I know her because I know your family. And I watch how you are living this out right now. I might not have ever known her, but because of you and because of your family, I feel like I knew who she is. And isn't it the same thing with our relationship with God? Shouldn't people be able to see Jesus because they know us? Because they know who we are? Shouldn't they be able to see the attributes of who God is because of who we are? And the only way that happens, and the only way that it's going to be able to happen, is that you're going to have such, one, a passion for him, but you need to have a passion for people. You need to have that vertical relationship that's so strong, so that you can be able to handle the horizontal relationships that God's put us over and asked people to be around. And so I want to encourage you with that today, is that our passion needs to be restored. It needs to be restored. And I just want to, I'm going to close here in prayer, but I just really feel that there's some of you in this room right now that you're feeling dry, and you're tired. You're like, that word fatigue is probably setting in a lot of different ways. Maybe you've been praying for something, and you're saying, God, why isn't this happening? Why aren't I seeing a breakthrough in this? You know, I'll tell you that my brother walked away for God for 16 years. 16 years we prayed for him, and he finally turned it back around. So don't quit. Don't give up on anybody ever. Don't give up on them. Because now, I mean, he loves God. He loves God. His wife loves God. And it's a really great, great thing. But it took a long time for that to happen. And so if you just want to close your eyes right now, I just want to just be able to pray for you. But I think the first thing is you need to take one step forward today. Man, our to restore our passion, and if you feel it's lost, every day is just another step forward. Take one step forward. Realize that he is the source of our deep joy and passion, that he is the one that restores the joy of our salvation. So restore your passion for God. You need to make some margin for him. You need to make some space. There's some things that are probably cluttering your time. You need to make space for that. For some of you, it's for your family. You need to regain a passion for your family again. Every dad out here, I'm going to tell you, you need to step up your passion for God so that you can love your family the way that you want. They need it. Moms, please step up your passion for God so your kids can see that. And then the last thing I want to say in that is your calling. God has given each one of you a talent. He's given each one of you ability to do something for him. I want to encourage you to use that talent, use that gift, whatever it might be. And I'm going to say to everyone in this room, it's never too late. I have to share this one last thing because my mom, we moved her into, my mom and dad into a senior living scenario. My mom could barely see anymore, but she had the word of God in her so strongly that she was able to minister to 100 more people in her 70s. Because the church she was at, she couldn't go there anymore on a regular basis. But women would come in and she'd have a Bible study with them. Mm-hmm. And at lunch and dinner time, she would tell them stories about God. Mm-hmm. And she saw people come to the Lord and restore their joy and their passion for God. And that never would have happened if it would have been for our failing health that moved her into a scenario that gave her one more opportunity to reach one more set of people that were in their older age. So I want to say it to everybody. It doesn't matter, young or old, God still has a plan for you. He still wants to do something great in you. And when you guys were talking about brokenness, and I wasn't going to say this, but you guys kept saying words that made sense to this. I've had this vision for a while, and I didn't know when I was supposed to share this thing. I think it's supposed to be right now. That if you've ever seen in like Japan, or you've seen like these pieces of china, when they get broken, that they don't throw the broken pieces away. They actually inlay them with gold. And they make them, it's called kintaguri or something like that. I don't remember the exact name. But they become these beautiful pieces of art, that these broken china, that they take the gold and they smooth it out and they make it right even with it. So when you hold it up, you can see all the broken pieces, but it's beautiful. And I just want to say that there are some of you in this room today that maybe you feel broken and you can't see yourself being restored. I'm going to tell you that God wants to take the broken pieces. Amen. And he wants to inlay it with gold. Mm. And he wants to make it something beautiful, even better than the original of what it was. Mm-hmm. And so today I'm going to say, if you need prayer for anything, I'd love to be able to pray with you. My wife and any of the team up here that would like to pray with you. I just don't want you to walk out of this room the same way. If you feel like there's something in you and you know it, and you're saying, you know what, I need my passion restored. I need to change my mindset. I need to change that. You know, I need to take action in these things. Mm-hmm. All right, you can close your eyes again. I just want to just pray over you. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for this time together. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you will restore the joy of our salvation. Lord, I pray right now for those that are struggling, that are going through some really tough times. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you give them such a peace. I pray right now that you change their mindset, God, that they're able to serve you the way that they want to. And God, and in this, Lord, that they will be able to do such great things for the kingdom of God. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.